Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Rich Eisen.
He is one of the all-time
Rich Eisen
absolute friggin' greats.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I don't see no competition.
With guest host Ben Lyons, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Hey, Rich. Huge fan. Love your show. Listen to it every day.
Thanks, brother.
The Rich Eisen Show. And now, sitting in for Rich, here's Ben Lyons.
Great to be with you on a Monday, the day after the Milwaukee Bucks get it done in Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich. As always, you can hit us up on Twitter, at Rich Eisen Show. Also, you can hit me up, at I Am Ben Lyons. We're available, of course, across Westwood 1 and SiriusXM 211. We'll be back on Peacock next week. I'm really looking forward to hang out with the guys and get into a little bit of everything, as they always do on this show. Big reason why I love this show is it's not just 3 hours of hot takes. We get to have some nuanced conversations. We get to connect sports fans with some really interesting voices surrounding the games they love. And very, very much looking forward to spending some time coming up in a moment with Jared Christopher, a great filmmaker, has a series called Texas Six, just nominated for a Sports Emmy. You can find it on Paramount Plus. And we'll get into it with Jared in a moment. Fun moment last night from the game quickly. Art, our Raiders fan and board op, is going to share this sound with you. It's with once a Nick, always a Nick, Bobby Portis, who had a great game in Game 3 of the Finals and was asked a pretty funny question in the post game afterwards. And this was on NBA TV. So let's play it, Art.
30 years from now, when you think about this, I know you have more to do.
30 years.
Well, but you're going to remember some really key things.
26, now I'll be 56.
Right.
What I ain't trying to think about 56. I ain't going to lie.
I know.
Not that bad.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, hey, I'm 26. Damn.
Well,
I'm trying to put 30 on me already.
What stories will you tell about Giannis, the teammate, Giannis, the leader, Giannis, the comeback guy?
Oh, man, Giannis is a great, great guy. You know, one of the big reasons why I wanted to come here just to play with him and play with all these guys, because I watched the bubble last year and I just seen the hole where I can just try to feel the need at, and it was just perfect timing for me to come here. But just Giannis in particular, man, he's a relentless hard worker. He gives his all to the team. He's selfless, man. And when you play like that, and when you want to win, I think the basketball God just always rewards you.
That's Bobby Portis, the Milwaukee Bucks, having a great moment in the postgame, laughing at the idea of 30 years from now having to think about this series and playing alongside Giannis. And the reason I play that, and you know, we're so caught in the moment in sports and sports media and sports talk radio. We're so reactionary to what we just saw that sometimes it takes some time or perspective or some years to go by for us to truly understand what it is we just saw and appreciate it for what it was. And that's where I think great filmmaking comes into the sports conversation. There are tremendous sports journalists out there who cover the games inside and out, day in and day out. We've got one of them coming up a little bit later on the show, Jared Greenberg from NBA TV will call in to talk all things finals. But I think it's those storytellers, those artists, those filmmakers who can create content around the games we love that live on forever. Live on past the X's and O's, that give us some perspective on the game and some understanding of the role that sports truly plays in our society. And people can say it's trivial and it's just a game, but we all know from having a passion for sports that it means so much more to us, to the athletes, to the communities where these sports take place. And I just thought it was such a funny moment last night with Bobby, just asking him to think 30 years from now to put this in perspective. And he couldn't even do it because, one, he's only 26 years old. So you're asking him to think about more than half his life, but also double his life. But then you're also, you know, asking him to take himself out of this moment. And when you're a professional athlete and you're so locked in, that's really hard to do in real time, is to have that perspective and have that understanding and self-awareness to see your accomplishments in context of a larger narrative. So it takes great filmmakers, I think, to bring that out of sports, and we're lucky right now to be joined by one of those. Jared Christopher joins the show. He's got a great series, Texas 6, available now on Paramount Plus. Jared, how are you, my friend? Thanks for taking some time.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ben. I'm doing awesome. Thanks for having me.
Are you watching these NBA finals and Giannis and what he's doing and looking at it from the perspective of a filmmaker trying to find the great storylines, whether it's Chris Paul at the end of his career or a young star like Devin Booker coming on the scene? How does a filmmaker of your acumen watch a sporting event like the NBA finals unfold?
Well, you know, I've had a great perspective shift, actually, just personally over the last decade. I have a son who's now 13. And so for a number of years, I was a little bit, I had distanced myself from a lot of the game because I had played a lot of college baseball. I was a baseball player my whole life, had aspirations to play pro ball. And when that didn't happen, I sort of started to distance myself from the game just because it hurt so much to watch it and see the guys I had played with play. But now I get to watch it through my son's eyes, and I get to enjoy it, just sit back and really enjoy it from a child's perspective. And really, there's been nothing more rewarding than doing that, spending that time together.
It's so true, and it's why I love the NBA Finals, because I feel like I get to, you know, every night the games are on, get into a time machine and go back to having that childlike feeling when I was watching Michael Jordan, or I was watching, you know, the great NBA Finals from my lifetime. So to now have, I don't have to get in my time machine. If I'm you can just sit next to your son and chat it up with him. That's really special. When you look at the just not only the finals, but just the landscape of sports, what is it as a filmmaker? And for those just tuning in, Jared Christopher joining the show, Ben Lyons filling in for Rich Eisen, Jared's series Texas 6 available now on Paramount Plus, recently nominated for a Sports Emmy. When you're looking at just the landscape of sports, where are those little embers that turn into fires? Where do they start for you as a filmmaker while watching the games?
You know, if I'm looking for stories just personally to tell, it's always got to be something that transcends the game. It's got to be these stories off the field because, you know, when you look at sports, typically the narrative's always the same. It's got a built-in structure to every game. You know, it's got the ups and the downs, and it comes down to the final minute. But what is it that's going on off the court or off the field that inspires these guys? Or who is it sitting in the stands watching the game that it means more to them? Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a grandparent, or like I mentioned, a child. And I'm always looking for those stories that, to me, as a father, mean more than the outcome of the game. And then as a storyteller, if I can weave those two narratives together, I feel like I've really got something special, something that can maybe touch an audience, you know, beyond just watching the game.
You got something really special, man, and you know that with this series, Texas 6. For those out there who love football, the game of football, not just the NFL, but just the game itself, Texas 6 really taps into that passion and that love on a real pure level of the game. So congratulations on the series. For audiences who might not be familiar with Texas 6, available now on Paramount Plus, what is it about that series that you're so proud of?
Yeah, thank you. You know, I had an opportunity to, through a number of producers on the West Coast, to pitch a concept that I had come up with that, in my opinion at the time, showcased that passion and that religion that we all know as Texas high school football from an angle that maybe nobody had ever seen before. It in Texas, obviously, with Friday Night Lights being sort of the benchmark that people look at, big time Texas high school football might rival college programs across the country. But what I was interested in was trying to find a lens or a way into that story that you hadn't experienced before. And so at the very opposite end of that spectrum, you have in Texas these little tiny towns of less than 1,000 people that still have the exact same passion for that Friday night experience, but they don't have the kids to field a normal team.
So what we have in Texas is at the lowest classification, it's called six-man football. And it's really, I mean, once again, passion's the same, but it's a faster, more electric game. And you're talking about towns that are essentially ghost towns across the state. And so I was interested in that entry point. But what interested me even more than just the football itself was the story of these basically abandoned towns and these kids who, you know, hadn't had the same experiences as the kids from the other larger towns might have, but the passion and the religion for the game was still the same.
Jared Christopher joins the show. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show. You can hit us up on Twitter at Rich Eisen Show, or hit up me at I Am Ben Lyons, or hit up Jared at Jared L. Christopher. Jared's got a great series available now on Paramount Plus called Texas Six. It takes a deep dive into the world of six-on-six football in Texas. And where does the game of six-on-six football go from here? This series, Jared, does a wonderful job of shining a light on these incredible players and these communities and these towns, but it doesn't seem like it's possible for it to get any bigger, because the reason why it exists in the first place is because these towns are so small. So where do you see the game going now that this series has brought a lot of eyeballs to it?
You know, I've actually, I think for the little towns, they're happy for it to be their secret, you know. And when I came out to visit Strong, the community that I profile in the documentary, one of the first people that I met was the high school football coach who took me around the town, which obviously didn't take long. There's 676 people in the town, so it's a very small community. One stoplight, one grocery store. It's actually a gas station that doubles as a grocery store. But he told me on that first trip, he said, you know, my kids here in this town, they train, they work out, they practice every bit as hard for their entire high school career as the kids do at the big schools, but nobody knows we exist. And so that always stuck with me throughout filming, and that became my North Star. And I thought, you know, if I can tap into that, and if I can give these kids a chance to share some of that spotlight, well, then I've done my job as a filmmaker. And, you know, for those communities, that's just been their existence for the last really 100 years. And I think they're happy with that. They were all very open and willing to share their story with me. And I think that was just a product of the amount of time we had spent out there. My crew and I, very small crew, we spent 6 months living in the town and ended up with over 500 hours of footage. But to me, it was always about building those relationships, nurturing them, and, you know, hopefully tapping into, you know, the emotional truth of their journey.
It's an incredible series. I hope Paramount Plus continues to bring it back for football fans. If you love the game of football, you will love Texas Six, and the way that Texas as a state loves the game of football, it pops off the screen. Jared Christopher, the filmmaker behind the series, joining the show right now. And I know somebody who holds a special place in your heart and the heart of Texans, and you hope to do more with his story down the road, is the great Nolan Ryan, who's somebody I think about, Jared, this week as Major League Baseball celebrates its Midsummer Classic. And, you know, Nolan played in so many All-Star games, and that's what you love to see in an All-Star game, is when Nolan would go up against a batter who he traditionally might not have faced. When you think of All-Star Weekend, you think of Nolan Ryan. What does he mean to the festivities? But really, what does he mean to you as a filmmaker coming out of Texas?
Yeah, when growing up, obviously the Rangers back in the 80s and 90s were just awful. I mean, there was, you know, really no reason to tune in unless Nolan was on the mound, because every time he stepped on the mound, there was the potential for something special to happen. 7 no-hitters, obviously, in his career, 5,000 strikeouts, 300 wins. And so I have those memories that I mentioned that my son and I are creating now with my father. We would go to the games when Nolan would pitch. I remember him vividly, remember him waking me up and having me come into the living room and watch Nolan throw his 7th no-hitter. And so now that, you know, once again, I have a son, I'm able to share some of those moments with him. So tonight we're going to be tuning in to watch the Home Run Derby to see if Joey Gallo can somehow upset Ohtani, although we're great Ohtani fans as well.
Jared Christopher, appreciate you taking some time. The series is Texas Six. It's available now on Paramount Plus. Nominated for a Sports Emmy, and I can't wait to see what you're able to cook up next. Thanks, my man.
Thanks, buddy. And by the way, we're in post on season two. It's set to release sometime in October.
Let's go. Let's go. Season two. I love it. I hope they gave you some support this time around because you bet on yourself for the first time and it paid off. Well deserved.
Thank you, buddy.
Jared Christopher joining the show. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich Eisen. I'm telling you, if you love the game of football, Texas 6 is the series you have to check out. Nominated for a Sports Emmy, available now on Paramount Plus. And that's something that I'm going to do throughout this week and next week is connect you with voices around the games, voices in sports, creatives who might not always pop up on traditional sports talk radio. But, you know, we're going to do something a little different over the next 2 weeks. And it's an interesting time of the year, obviously, in the sports calendar. So, you know, having some different type of voices, that's something that I love about sports is that it's a collection of characters who all contribute to the game. And yeah, we're going to bring in some folks throughout the week who have a different kind of perspective to add to the conversation surrounding the games. Now, I do want to get back to Game 3 of the NBA Finals because, as you know, I consider myself an NBA Finals historian. I am obsessed with the culture of the finals. I remember watching the Michael Jordan switching of the hands layup in Game 2, Bulls and Lakers, 1991, legendary moment in basketball, and the first of many titles for Michael Jordan. He'd go on to win two more in that first three-peat. I remember listening to Game 6 of the Portland Trailblazers series on the radio with my family in the car on a road trip. I remember being just devastated when my favorite player, the MVP, Charles Barkley, lost in 93. Probably my favorite finals of all time, the 1993 NBA Finals when Jordan just put on a show for those four games where he dropped over 40. He had 55 in one of them. And, of course, my heart was broken in 94 again when John Starks had the terrible game and the Knicks lost. And I could go on and on with NBA Finals moments in history and how it defined my childhood as well as my adulthood and getting to cover the NBA Finals. I'll share some of those stories throughout the week. And somebody who's covering the NBA Finals this year for NBA TV is Jared Greenberg. Does a great job covering the league. He'll call in next. We're going to talk more about Game 3, the Bucks and Suns. Bucks getting it done. Giannis putting on a historic performance, reaffirming his greatness, because not only did he do it once, but he did it again. And something tells me he's going to do it again in Game 4. So we'll check in with Jared Greenberg from NBA TV next. This is Ben Lyons filling in for Rich Eisen on The Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Ben Lyons here hanging out for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show. Welcome back, everyone. We appreciate you spending some time the day after Giannis put on a show himself out in Milwaukee, getting it done for the Bucks. Historic performance from the Greek Freak. I was going through my own personal history with the NBA Finals, and while I do know the game's history, and sadly, as a Knicks fan, you have to if you want to know anything about what it means to win an NBA title. So I know about Willis Reed, and it's not even the Willis Reed performance. It's really Walt Clyde Frazier's stat line, that Game 7. That was so incredible. Kind of gets lost in the sauce. And I know all about the 80s and the 9 finals for the Lakers and the Boston Massacre and how the Pistons were the only team in the 80s to really knock off the Celtics, Lakers, and Bulls. And remember Isaiah Thomas rolling his ankle in Game 6 and all that stuff. But for me, just personally where I'm at in my life and my age, the first finals – I really remember having an emotional investment in, watching every game, being connected to, was 1991, Chicago and Los Angeles. And to this day, Michael Thompson, the great Lakers center and big guy, he swears that the Lakers would have won that series if James Worthy hadn't broken his foot in Game 1. But the injuries are always part of the NBA Finals. You know, the Knicks didn't have Patrick Ewing in 1999, got injured after that Miami series. You think back, I mentioned the Isaiah Thomas injury in I think it was 88. Well, then in 89, Magic Johnson, he pulls a hamstring and he doesn't play for most of the finals. So injuries have always defined the game in the NBA Finals, sadly, this time of year. You think to 2019. When Toronto won the championship and KD was out and Clay was out. And, you know, injuries are always going to be part of it. But availability, consistency, these are key traits to being great at anything in life. And you have to be available. And that's part of it, just as, you know, rebounding and ball handling and all of it is. So the fact that Giannis is available for this series, that in itself is amazing considering the injury he suffered against the Hawks. And now he's just dominating and playing at the level that we all know he can play at. It's been really fun to see and really enjoy watching the coverage during these NBA finals of a buddy of mine, somebody I admire as a fan and feel lucky to call him a friend. And that's Jared Greenberg from NBA TV who joins the show now. Jared, how are you? And what are the first finals you remember just being emotionally invested in?
But first of all, great to speak with you. Favorite 10 minutes of the week here, Ben. The first one I remember, and this is going to show, I guess, my age. I don't know if it's going to show that I'm young or old. But, you know, the O.J. chase with the Knicks and the Rockets. You know, I just remember Bob Costas cutting into the coverage and that whole thing that went down, I think, what, 94. Yeah. So for me, that was the first one that really was like, oh, my goodness, like there's two – parallel stories. And then living in the New York area, you know, you had the Rangers competing as well. So, you know, just it was unbelievable, you know, with all these different stories going on.
No, that's an iconic finals for so many reasons, obviously. Yeah. And that's what's so great about the finals is that these moments really write the history book of the NBA and the game we love. And when you look at what Giannis did last night, yeah. Where does that rank in terms of, you know, finals history and legacy, and how do you sort of digest what we saw in Milwaukee yesterday?
Yeah, it's tough, right? Because, I mean, you could argue that his game two was even better, you know, because he had to carry a team that really didn't support him around him. You know, I think all this stuff is tough. You know, I can't give you an answer in terms of, like, where, like, I put it exactly compared to, like, Jordan or LeBron. I just know, like, in my 10 years working for TNT and NBA TV covering the finals, you know, it's obviously been dominated by LeBron. And, you know, I just – what he did in 2016 for me is going to go down as something that I will, you know, tell my grandkids about, which, by the way, in order to have grandkids, I got to have kids first. So I don't – I keep on saying that. I always kind of stop myself and say, you know, I probably got to have a kid before I have a grandkid.
Jared, I do the same exact thing. You and I are around similar age. I'll be on the golf course. I'll say, oh, I'm going to tell my grandkids about that shot. And they're like, well, what about your kids' kids? You got to get that done
right.
First.
So. Exactly, yeah.
Well, you know, it's true about Giannis, where it ranks historically in terms of other great players. You don't know just yet, but right. You know, he even talked about that last night.
Job, right. Like he's, you know, that's the thing too. He's got to finish it. And that's, you know, individually, yes. Game two and game three were sensational. but he's got to go and complete the job. And then you start to think about it. You know, if he digs out of an 0-2 hole and keeps on putting up these 40-point performances, well, then, yeah, it's going to go up there as one of the great finals performances. I mean, just based on what he's done the last two games, Ben, we're already triggering the conversation that if the Bucks lose, could Giannis become the second ever player in NBA history to lose the finals but be the finals MVP, right? And we did that with LeBron back in the last few years, but it never came to fruition. Will that happen with Giannis?
No, it's great. That's a great point. Jared Greenberg joining the show, NBA TV. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show. I remember being in the building at Oracle when LeBron put up 51 in a loss and thinking, wow, this is something I'll tell my future family members and is sort of peak LeBron. I don't think he'll ever get greater than this moment. And now you're looking at, speaking of greatness, you're looking at somebody who's kind of on the opposite side of this, and that's Devin Booker, who has the tattoo, Be Legendary, inspired by his relationship with Kobe Bryant, had a tough game three last night. I thought he was injured. I was like, what happened? Did I go to the bathroom and miss him rolling his ankle? Why is he not playing? What presents itself for Devin Booker for the rest of this series, and what do you expect out of him in game four?
Yeah, Ben, I was thinking the same exact thing as you and the guys, Mike Breen, Jeff Van Gundy, and Mark Jackson were having an interesting conversation because, they're in a position where you don't want to make any assumptions. But, Jeff Van Gundy brought up the fact that maybe Monty Williams is just resting him. But if he was resting Devin Booker, why wouldn't he be resting Chris Paul, who arguably needs to rest more than Devin Booker? And if he was waving the white flag, why did he have some of his other starters on the court? Maybe it was just one of those things where Monty Williams knows this guy really well. He's been coaching him for the last 2 years. And he just felt like psychologically he wasn't having a great game. I got to believe if a guy like Devin Booker, who's trying to, channel his best Kobe, if he is injured but yet can play, so maybe he's just hurt, we won't probably find out about it until after the series, right? This is one of those things he'll play through. And maybe Monty Williams and the coaching staff or the medical staff got together and they said, listen, we can have this guy for game four, but let's just protect him from himself for the rest of this game when we're down by 20. This is all me just kind of guessing. I have no idea, but you're right. Like I felt the same thing. It's like, if he's not injured, why isn't he out there? And if he is injured, why don't we know about it?
For sure. And you don't want to go to that place and make assumptions. And then you start to think down the road, well, will this impact his Team USA and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And, you just want to see him go out there and have a great game four. And it's the bounce back that defines greatness, I think.
Yeah.
You think of AD earlier this playoff run against these same Suns, had a terrible game one, bounce back in game two. LeBron in 2012, his game six in Boston. Talk about a bounce back from the J.J. Barea final. My goodness. Ended the big three in Boston as we know it. So the bounce back from Devin Booker, obviously something we're all paying attention to for game four. But you're covering this finals from every angle. What else are you really keeping your eye on for this next go on what'll be Wednesday night?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the big aspects of this finals is just a weird schedule. And I think, it's something maybe fans are not all that into. But, from being as attached to this as I am, it's just weird that essentially these two teams are spending 8 days in Milwaukee to play two games. You typically don't get that in the course of a final series. And I just wonder how that impacts these guys. We're going to talk legacy this whole time, whether it's Giannis, a guy trying to justify his two MVPs. And even last night, it was interesting. It was amazing to see him have the game he had, because remember early in the game, Mark Jackson pointed out how after he missed a free throw, he asked out of the game in the first quarter. That's something I've been following the Bucks. I had their Nets series in the second round on TNT, and he's been asking out of games all throughout the playoffs, whether it's the first quarter or even the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter of game seven, that epic legendary game seven, and with Kevin Durant and Giannis going back and forth, he was asking out of that quarter as well. So does he have the stamina for it? And then circling back to this schedule, how much does that help him that he gets essentially an extra day off to get ready for this? And I'll just, I know I'm rambling on this, Ben, but I just think it's no surprise to me that the Suns got beat up the way they got beat up with Devin Booker playing the way he played, because I really feel, and I hate even saying it this way, but it's no disrespect to Chris Paul. He has been phenomenal. He is maybe the greatest leader in basketball. You can give him all the intangible stuff, and he's been great on the court. But I feel like a lot of the talk about Chris Paul has kind of overshadowed just how great Devin Booker has been this year. And for me, Devin Booker was an all-NBA performer, not Chris Paul this year, in terms of stats and impact on the court and impact on winning. And I think that you've seen direct correlation. A guy has a bad game, the Suns lose. Devin Booker bounces back, has a great game, game four. Suns go back home with an opportunity, to close out the series.
Jared Greenberg from NBA TV, Turner Sports, joins the show. Ben Lyons here filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. And you're absolutely right about Devin Booker's greatness, which is why I feel confident or comfortable, or I don't feel like I'm participating in the ha-ha, gotcha kind of journalism that permeates around basketball these days, to challenge him to go out there and have a great game four. Like, that's okay. Like, again, the bounce back is what's so exciting and defining of a true all-timer. Like, everyone's going to go out there and have bad games. You got to go out there and bounce back. And you mentioned Giannis subbing in and out like that. Obviously, the hyperextension of the knee has to be impacting him on some level. And I think we'd be naive as fans to just kind of assume he's fine because he's going out there going for 40. What are you noticing in his game itself, just the way he's playing, that might be compensating for that knee being, not 100%? Or how's he kind of changed his game up a little bit this series, you think?
I haven't seen any of it, Ben, to be honest with you. And I was on the court prior to game one in Phoenix when he was warming up, and we didn't know yet whether he was going to play or not. And he looked like a guy that he did not look like a guy who a week before literally couldn't bend his knee. I was told that, in the days after him hyperextending that knee, that gruesome looking knee injury, he literally had no mobility in his leg. And then he went in the next few days and started shooting jumpers off of one leg just to kind of keep himself fresh. And that eventually worked himself up until about, I think it was day 4, 5, and 6 after the injury, when he finally was able to get on a court and have full mobility in his leg, in both legs, and be able to actually practice and give the medical staff some faith that he could actually go out there and play. But from what I've seen on the court, nothing. I mean, the fatigue thing, you're right. Like, you'd have to think having a week off and then trying to overcompensate for this injury would cause some fatigue. But what I've noticed all throughout the playoffs is that he's had fatigue issues. And when I talk to people inside the Bucks organization, they credit it to the fact that he just plays so darn hard that he doesn't know how to pull back. There's a lot of comparisons coming out right now between Giannis and Russell Westbrook, two guys that go 100 miles an hour, and we want to give them credit for that. But we also have to understand that in no sport are you supposed to go 100 miles an hour all the time and not downshift and understand appropriate time and score and situation, and when you're supposed to say, I don't need to go this hard right now. I can save myself. And it doesn't mean being lazy. It doesn't mean, anything like that. It's understanding the game. And I think Giannis, having not played the game, especially at a high level for all that long, he's still learning all that. So good on him for playing so hard. But I think in the end, he is exhausted.
It's a great point. You want to celebrate those traits that make those guys special, their relentlessness, their passion, they're competing at a high level, but it's a gift and a curse in a lot of right. ways. Cause you have to, there's no way the human body can withstand that much ferocity over the course of whether it's a game, a series, or an entire playoff run. When you look at the NBA finals, Jared, it's obviously going to create a domino effect throughout the league. Teams will react to trying to re-up their rosters based off, trying to compete with whoever wins the title. And it's a copycat league. When you look at the outcome of this series, say Phoenix is able to win in 5 or 6, how do you think that impacts maybe where Chris Paul goes next year? What happens in the Western Conference with the Lakers, with Dame Lillard? What's the snowball effect going to be, you think, in this offseason based on the results of this finals?
I think the one big takeaway, and it's going to be really hard to replicate because you can't just, slap a name on the back of a jersey and expect this to happen. But I think the value of surrounding young, inexperienced, talented players with veteran leadership, not veteran leadership that is just in the locker room because they're trying to collect a paycheck, in their 17th, 18th, 19th year, but a guy who can go out there and still go get you 30 like Chris Paul has done in this playoff run. A guy who's not just going to talk about it, but be about it. You know, Monty Williams, the head coach of the Phoenix Suns, wears this hat before every game that says, well done is greater than well said. And I think, you know, we often chalk those things up to cliches, but the difference in the rebuild of the Phoenix Suns over the years, and listen, you know, not to be hypocritical or contradict what I just said, a lot of what the Suns have accomplished this year has been the maturation process of DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, and Devin Booker, them coming into their own. I think Devin Booker is on the precipice of being a superstar in this league. But I don't know if all of this could have happened. It wouldn't have been as well packaged if you didn't have that guy on the court and Chris Paul who can take them over the hump, who can kind of show them the ropes, not just talk about the ropes. And I think in so many situations, whether you look in New Orleans with Zion Williamson and Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram, or you look in New York with your team, with guys like Julius Randle and RJ Barrett, who I think is going to be a superstar in this league one day in his own right, if you don't have that guy who can be about it and say, listen, this is how it's done, it's really hard to close the deal.
It's a great point. Jared Greenberg joins the show, NBA TV. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show. It's a great point because I look at Damian Lillard, who I believe is celebrating a birthday either today or this week or something like that. He'll be 31. And there's lots of talks about him changing scenery coming out of Portland. And instead of maybe teaming up with two other superstars as peer group and then filling out the roster, maybe he takes a page from these Phoenix Suns and from Chris Paul and says, hey, let me go surround myself. I'd like to go be with around a young, bubbling core and go do that instead. It's an interesting approach.
I agree. And you know, the conversation we always have, and I'm sure you and I have probably had this at some point, Ben, is, you know, who are the three or four or maybe at most five or six guys in the league who are capable of being the best player on the best team, right? And the conversation is the last few years has really been limited to like LeBron, a healthy KD, probably Steph. And, you know, you don't know. Is Harden in that conversation? Westbrook, don't think he's in that conversation, right? Is Giannis in that conversation? Well, we're going to find out over the next week and a half whether he's capable of being in that conversation. And then there's just a few other guys who are on the fringe of that conversation. I think Damian Lillard's capable of being that guy. He's just never been on a team. And listen, he's gotten to the Western Conference Finals. I hate to say that it's circumstantial, but it kind of was circumstantial how he got there. And I don't want to take anything away from him because he's one of my favorite players in the league to watch. And I would hate to see him leave Portland. I would hope that the Blazers just upgrade their roster and make some tweaks to their roster to make him maximize what they're getting out of Damian Lillard, who is, I think, probably one of the 10 best players in this league. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that.
No, definitely not. And I like how we're getting super nerdy here on a Monday talking Portland Trail Blazers roster moves. you know, you think after that Western Conference Finals performance, they had eight new guys on their roster the year after. So lots of changeover in Portland. We'll see if they add anybody else. But one thing that's really special, Jared, about the NBA Finals, and I want to say goodbye and get your take on this one. You know, when Langston Galloway and the Suns and Knicks, Monty Williams, former Knick Monty Williams, made it, it continued a tradition in the NBA, which I don't know if you're aware of this, Jared, but since the first NBA Finals, there's been an ex-Knick in every single NBA Finals. That's remarkable.
Do you know why I'm aware of this, Ben?
Because you follow me on Instagram? Is that why?
Because I think you sent it to me before you posted
it. I'm very proud of this. I'm very proud of this. What does that mean, Jack? I'm trying to, you know me, I'm trying to meditate in the desert. I'm trying to find myself. I'm always working on myself. What does this mean that ex-Knicks find themselves in the finals every single year of the NBA?
It's better to be not a Knick than a Knick. That's what it means.
You're breaking my heart. Oh, that's ridiculous. I was so happy. I'm taking pride in Bobby Portis having a good game last night.
Oh, my goodness. You go.
I appreciate the time, man. Thank you for spending it with us. I know you're busy this time of year, and looking forward to seeing your coverage throughout the finals, my man.
Ben, you're the best. Love that you're in for Rich, and I love talking to you. I'll catch up with you soon.
Jared Greenberg from NBA TV joining the show. Appreciate spending some time. Bucks and Suns game four, not tomorrow night, but Wednesday night. And Jared's right. The schedule is a little unusual this year with the teams now spending 8 days in Milwaukee. And a few years back, the NBA made the switch from the 2-3-2 format to the 2-2-1-1-1-1. And that's changed some things in NBA Finals history. And this year, we got a different schedule and a weird year. We're playing basketball after July 4th. So who knows what's going to happen on Wednesday night. All right, lots more to get to. Michael Thompson joins the show in about 20 minutes. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich Eisen on The Rich Eisen Show.
It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung. And that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome back to The Rich Eisen Show. Ben Lyons hanging out for Rich. He'll be here all week. Appreciate you guys rocking out with us this week. We'll be back on television next week. Our friends over at Peacock will be on the air. Looking forward to hanging out with Brockman and Del Tufo and TJ and everybody over there. So that should be fun next week. But yeah, the show rolls on. We got Michael Thompson calling in about 10 minutes. Father of Klay Thompson, of course, two-time NBA champion. And not only a huge basketball fan, obviously, but just loves all sports. Going to give us great insights on what's happening in the world of tennis, the McGregor fight, Italy and England. Michael Thompson, a real-life Dos Equis man, one of the most fascinating people I've been fortunate enough to cross paths with. He'll call in about 10 minutes or so. Thinking, obviously, a lot today about the NBA Finals and Game 6, Game 3 and Game 4 coming up on Wednesday. Will the series extend to six games if the Bucks get it done on Wednesday night? And, you know, the topic of greatness comes up a lot in the NBA Finals, in sports talk radio, debating greatness, defining it. Is somebody truly great? Who gets credit for that greatness? That's often a conversation point and an issue of debate is credit. And when you have big egos, big personalities, a lot of alpha males and females competing at the highest level, who gets credit for that greatness is oftentimes the point of contention. It's why franchises fall apart. It's why dynasties don't happen. You know, you look this year at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and what they were able to achieve, thanks in large part to the greatness of Tom Brady. Well, if they come back this year and say, you know, go 500 or so, go 9-8 or 10-7, and or maybe they're a wild card and they lose in the first round. Or, all right, well, they were a great team last year, but they're not going to be looked at as one of the great teams of all time. There's levels to greatness. It's a lot like the game of Zelda. You got to collect all the triangles in order to save the princess. There's levels to it. And, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have an opportunity this year to come back, repeat, which hasn't been done in a while in the NFL. And then they'll be talked about as one of the great teams of all time. So can you do it at a high level? And can you do it again? I think that's the part of greatness that's so interesting to me. You know, my friends know that I'm the world's biggest Carmelo Anthony fan, you know, not named Keon, his son, who's doing big things at Christ the King, going to be a freshman next year. But I think he's a freshman this year, maybe he's a sophomore next year, but shouts out to Keon Anthony. So everyone knows I'm a Carmelo fan, and they say, well, he never won. He never got to the NBA Finals. He never got past the conference finals. Carmelo did it every night for 14 straight years, averaging 20 plus. One of only a handful of guys in the history of the NBA to ever do that. His first 14 years in the league averaged over 20 a night. LeBron didn't do that. I don't think Jordan did that. A lot of guys haven't done that over the years. To do it every single night. As a Knicks fan, it's been disappointing the last few years, to say the least. However, when Melo was in New York, I didn't need to worry if Melo was going to bring it every night. There was no load management with Melo. He got hurt and didn't miss some games, for sure. But every night, I knew I was getting 25 from number 7. The rest of it, complete mess, complete dumpster fire. But it's that consistency to do it night in and night out. I don't know if you're if you consider yourself a home chef, but if you've ever tried to impress somebody you care about in your life with the food you cook for them, you know it's a tremendous undertaking. You got to go to the market and get the ingredients. You got to prepare the food the right way. You got to season it. You got to plate it and serve it. It's a whole process. To do it one time, you're not a chef by trait. It takes a lot out of you. One time just to cook a great meal. Do it again the next night. Do it again the night after that. And do it again when your in-laws in town. And do it again when the kids don't want to eat it. And do it again in somebody else's kitchen. That defines a chef. That makes you a great chef. So anybody in the highest level of sports, this is what we're talking about here, professional sports, anybody can go out there and compete and be great one time. They're all the great, you know, the best players in the history of their high school, the best players in the history of their town. You can do it once. Can you do it again tomorrow night? Can you do it again the night after that? Here's the great one himself, Wayne Gretzky, in the film In Search of Greatness, directed by Gabe Polsky, that profiles some of the great athletes of all time. Here's what Wayne Gretzky, the great one, had to say about doing it again and again and again after that.
I'm a true fan of all sports, and I'm a true admirer of the elite athletes in each and every one of those sports. So when I see a guy do something and brings me out of my chair, you go, wow. I'll give you an example. Tennis is, to me, a fascinating sport. And if you watch Federer play, you just keep thinking, wow, can he just keep going to another level? It's pretty remarkable what he's accomplishing. When I watch basketball, when you see LeBron James and see what he accomplishes, 2 seconds, 1 second for the win. And then you say, well, I got to watch him play again tomorrow night because he might be better than he was last night. That's what's enticing for me as a fan.
That's Wayne Gretzky, the great one himself, as a fan, talking about what he wants from greatness. And I think as we're sitting here in between games of the NBA Finals, when you're looking at the great players in this series, Giannis, Devin, Chris, it's okay for us to sit here and ask him to do it again. What Giannis did was incredible, and he's doing it on a hyperextended knee, an injury that would have taken out most players. He's not only available, giving you a lot more than the Willis Reed performance. He's going out there and dropping 40 in the NBA Finals. Did it 2 games in a row. One of only a handful of players in the last 25 years in the finals to ever do that. I think joining Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant. Well, guess what? The Bucks need him to do it again on Wednesday night. Otherwise, they don't have any chance of extending this series. I have no problem when we sit back here and analyze the truly great ones, the GOATs, the icons, the legends. We hold them to that standard to say, do it again. Make another great meal on Wednesday night. Giannis, you put up 40 two nights in a row, do it a third night in a row. There's a lack of stagnation that exists within the GOATs, a lack of comfort and complacency. A lot of guys could sit on their laurels. A lot of guys could rest on that. But the truly great ones are looking to unlock that next level and keep pushing forward. We'll talk to Michael Thompson next about greatness with Federer, with his own son, Clay, plus his memories of playing in the NBA Finals. And is he still bitter about those 91 Lakers? Had a chance to knock off Michael Jordan and the Bulls. James Worthy goes down with the broken foot, and the rest is history. Something tells me Michael Thompson isn't at peace with that one, even 30 years later. Very excited that you're joining us here on a Monday. You can follow us, of course, on Twitter at Rich Eisen Show, at I Am Ben Lyons. Here with you this week and next week. Lots to get into with the great Michael Thompson, the pride of the Bahamas. Art, our radio op, our board op, thought he was the actual president of the Bahamas or a mayor of Nassau. No, he's just the great Michael Thompson, and he's kind enough to join the show next. It's Ben Lyons filling in for Rich Eisen on The Rich Eisen Show.